A few years ago, I inherited an African violet in a state of disrepair and needing some attention. I'm not much of one for taking in homeless houseplants, but this one was a displaced resident left behind on my mother's journey down the long road of dementia. I'd known African violets for years, but never tried to raise them. Growing up in rural western Kansas, I saw a constant exhibit of this jungle flora when I passed the county abstract office on the main street of my childhood. Long the favorite flower of many maiden ladies, Miss Grace Olson kept up the tradition by carefully tending a window display of pink and purple blossoms. Their brilliant colors and furry leaves brought an exotic touch to my drab little town and were surely a bright spot in Miss Olson's daily toils among musty records and dusty documents. Remembering her penchant for all things neat and tidy, I approached my adoptive parent duties with a bit of trepidation. Knowing only that water on the fuzzy leaves of African violets led to disaster, I carefully irrigated at the base of the mound of slightly anemic greenery. Since Miss Olson's successful display faced the east, I placed my orphan plant in a kitchen window that afforded a view of the daily sunrise, and then headed to the web and my plant books to do a bit of research. African violet's botanical name of St. Paulia descends from Baron Walter von St. Paul, who discovered the wild species in East Africa in 1892. The Baron sent seeds to his father in Germany, where they enjoyed success as houseplants and eventually traveled throughout Europe. They were brought to California greenhouses in 1926, where the original pansy-shaped blue blooms of the wild species were hybridized to produce a variety of blossom shapes, sizes, and colors. While reading up on these plants that look like demanding hothouse delicacies, I was surprised to find that African violets are actually pretty tough cookies and are relatively easy to grow. They seem to make ideal houseplants because they have several similarities to housebound humans. They like the same temperatures as people, tolerating low 80s but preferring 60s and 70s. They grow well in indirect sunlight, tolerating some morning sun, but having a tendency to sunburn in too much hot afternoon sunshine. A good way to test the light is to put your hand between the plant and the window. It needs to cast a shadow, but shouldn't feel hot on the back of your hand. Perhaps watering is the trickiest part of growing African violets. Overwatering results in sure death, so be sure the pot can drain and let the soil dry out between drinks. As mentioned before, don't get water on the leaves or stems because they'll rot. Also, keep the plant pretty well root-bound. Many of the experts recommend repotting new acquisitions to make sure they've not been grown in a soil mix that automatically absorbs water, as that will eventually drown your prized possession. Use an equal mix of peat moss, vermiculite, and perlite, or look for prepackaged African violet soil mixes, and feed on a regular basis to keep your babies blooming using a watered-down balanced houseplant fertilizer or a specialty mix. 6 years ago, I took in an African violet that wanted sunlight and a good meal. 3 months later, it gave back a perfect posy of purple blooms to brighten a drooping spirit or a winter day. Today, my African violet population has expanded to 8 plants that are thriving in my kitchen and providing multiple blooms in a myriad of colors. But I still prize the original that each May sends out a greeting of Happy Mother's Day, in memory of my mom.